Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today I want to welcome Dr. Matthew Harmon to the podcast. Dr. Harmon serves as professor of New Testament studies at Grace College and Theological Seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana. He also serves on the preaching team at Christ Covenant Church. Dr. Harmon, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to have a conversation with you today about preaching and understanding the Bible and whatever else you might want to talk about today.
Yeah, look, I'm looking forward to that. And we're going to be talking primarily about the preacher and sermon application and really just building this off of a little book you released back in the summer entitled Asking the Right Questions, A Practical Guide to Understanding and Applying the Bible. And I picked this book up back in the summer, enjoyed reading through it, and made the mental note to record a podcast with you. And so here we are. So thank you for joining me for this conversation.
Thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to seeing what the Lord has for us today in this conversation.
So before we get into really the meat of the topic, give us an update just on your ministry there at Grace College, Grace Seminary, and kind of just what's going on in your family's life and what maybe writing projects are ahead of you. Just orient our audience to you and to your ministry.
Sure. Well, I'm in my 12th year here at Grace College and Theological Seminary, where I teach New Testament courses, and I'm very actively involved in my local church. You mentioned Christ Covenant Church here in Winona Lake, where I serve on the preaching team. I teach in our Life Ed curriculum, and I also lead a small group in our church as well. So those things keep me very plugged in with the local church and serving in those capacities. My wife, Kate, is an English teacher at a local Christian school here in our community. And I've got two boys. My oldest son, John, is a sophomore in college here at Grace. And my younger son, Jake, is a junior in high school. And one of the things that's really keeping us busy this time of year is basketball. So I get the opportunity to help coach my younger son's basketball team in high school. So this time of year is always a busy time of practices and games and lots of time on the bus, so to speak. So.
Yeah, no, I resemble that remark as far as the shuttling to basketball games. I have five children, four of whom are playing basketball currently. And we're having a blast with it, but there are a lot of games to go to and a lot of practices to transfer kids to. So listen, before we get into the topic, just one other question. Update us on your writing ministry. I know you've written several books. You have some things in the works. So just tell us what to look forward to.
Yes. So right now, the main thing I'm working on is finishing up a commentary on Galatians in the Biblical Theology for Christian Proclamation series. And so I'm hopeful to be able to send that off to the publisher sometime in the summer of 2018. And I'm also working on a smaller book tracing the theme of sin and exile through the entire biblical storyline. And that's going to be part of a new series that InterVarsity Press is doing called Essential Studies in Biblical Theology. So there'll be a series of about, I think, 10 books in total. That'll be just shorter introductions to key biblical theology themes that help people understand the Bible, and written not at a sort of upper level academic technical kind of level, but more for the person who's in the pew and wants to get a better grasp of some of these key themes that just run the span of the biblical storyline. So I'm excited about finishing that project as well.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing that myself. So in my hand today, and framing our conversation, is your book, Asking the Right Questions, A Practical Guide to Understanding and Applying the Bible. And I got to tell you, as one who's preached now for 20 years, interpreting the text sometimes is challenging. Applying the text sometimes is challenging as well. And we tend to give more attention and focus on rightly interpreting the text. And look, justifiably so, we have to interpret the text correctly. But oftentimes we don't give the right amount of focus and attention to rightly, faithfully applying the text as well. Your book seeks to really answer both of those questions, but today's podcast, I want to zero in on the idea of rightly applying the text. So as it relates to the book and the topic, what brought this project about? Why did you think this was an important topic to write a book on?
the origins of this book really came out of my experience both in the local church as well as in the classroom, but really primarily more in the local church, in the sense that as I interacted with believers, I really came to experience this consistent mixture of a desire to read the Bible, but an underlying frustration at not necessarily knowing where to start or what to do or how to get the most out of reading the Bible and applying it to their lives. So really this book began as a series of questions that I developed to help people have just a basic rubric or framework to be able to have them handy as they read through any passage of Scripture to think about not only what do I need to understand from this biblical text, but how do I begin to think about applying it to my everyday life? And so from that basic handout kind of developed this larger attempt to see how many more people I might be able to help with this subject if I could put it into some sort of published form for people outside of my immediate circles here to benefit from. So as I began to see people benefit from it, I tweaked it and made some changes just based on things I was hearing people say and how it was helping them. And it just took, in God's providence, an opportunity to have a conversation with Justin Taylor at Crossway about this book. And he encouraged me to put something together. And that's what started the path to getting it out and into people's hands.
So when it comes to preaching and to talking with preachers, I commonly hear preachers refer to the challenge of application. That they feel oftentimes like their application of the text week to week from the pulpit sounds repetitive, redundant. It's hard to say new things about the text on occasion. And so I guess just at the more principal level, let me ask you this. Why is correctly applying the text so important?
Well, ultimately, if we do not properly apply the biblical text, we are failing to align ourselves with the primary purpose of why God gave us the Bible, and that's to transform us into clearer reflections of His Son Jesus. And I think if we fail to give ourselves the proper time and energy to helping people apply the biblical text, what we end up doing is subtly or not so subtly communicating that the Bible is really mostly about intellectual head knowledge rather than an encounter with the living God that is intended to transform us. And so I think when it comes to the task of preaching and why we end up maybe either experiencing frustration or just a lack of ability to do it is oftentimes, even in our sort of seminary education or training, we might talk about application, but the vast majority of the training that a lot of our pastors and preachers have received is on interpreting the biblical text. And as you said, that is foundational. If you don't have that, then you're not really doing biblical preaching. You're doing something else. But if we're going to see God change people through the preaching and teaching of His Word, then we need to devote ourselves to understanding the different aspects of application, as well as having a better understanding of the people that we are preaching God's Word to, and getting a better insight into what their lives are like and how they live, what challenges they face. And when we're there, I think we're a better position then to be able to make good, faithful, meaningful, targeted application to people in our congregation.
So in order to achieve this, you propose four questions to help us rightly apply the text. And I'm just going to state each one of these, and then I want to work through them together with you and, of course, for our listeners. The four questions are, number one, what does God want me to understand? Number two, what does God want me to believe? Number three, what does God want me to desire? Number four, what does God want me to do? Now, before we begin to kind of take these questions one by one, give me and give us a point of reference as to kind of why these questions, what led you to develop these four questions. Give us the backstory.
Sure. Well, ultimately, as I began to think about this whole area of application and even looked back at my own preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching that I had experienced as a listener, as a congregant, one of the things I began to realize pretty quickly is that I had too narrow of a view of application. And that when I thought about application, I tended to think almost exclusively of very tangible, specific actions that I should take when it comes to responding to the biblical text. And what I began to realize is that if the goal of God giving us the Bible is to transform us as whole people to reflect His Son Jesus, then our application needs to make sure it hits the whole person. And we're much more than just doers. And so I began to think about what other aspects of application do we need to think through so that when we approach application, we are actually approaching it from a more holistic biblical framework of that idea of God transforming the whole person, not just changing our behavior.
And that's very well put, because I think many of us, myself included, can fall into a rhythm of thinking of application, both for ourselves and for those to whom we preach, as just being kind of the to-do list level, the action levels you referenced. Go do this, go love your wife, go set out the trash, go engage in loving your wife in these tangible ways. But to press it more deeply into the heart, application to the affections, to the mind, to how we think, to the love of desires, that's very helpful the way you put that together. You then propose these four questions. And again, just to walk through these, and I'm going to ask each and let you elaborate on those for us. Question number one: what does God want me to understand about the text?
Yeah, so really this first question is oriented towards reforming the way that we think and just kind of getting at this idea from Romans 12:1-2 about being renewed by the transforming of our minds. And so this is really just sort of summarizing and thinking about what is it that God wants me to know and to understand as part of my larger worldview and frame of reference for understanding who I am, who God is, and the nature of the world around me. And I think that really serves as kind of the building block for the rest of these questions, because if we don't understand truth, it's difficult to apply it properly.
Dr. Harmon, let's pause just for a moment for a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's 81-hour Master of Divinity degree prepares you for ministry today and tomorrow. Midwestern Seminary's flagship degree program is our primary track for ministry preparation. Requiring only 81 credit hours, the MDiv program is an efficient option for students, equipping them to serve the church in pastoral ministry. Residential students will be trained in a unique community environment passionately focused on the local church. Online students can earn the full degree without leaving their current ministry context. Come be a part of one of the fastest growing seminaries in North America as we develop a new culture of discipleship devoted to the local church and committed to taking God's unchanging word into a rapidly changing world. Visit mbts.edu/mdiv today.
All right, I'm back in the studio with Dr. Matthew Harmon talking about the preacher and sermon application. Question number two, what does God want me to believe?
Yes, so this question is one that can be, on the surface, a little tricky to understand the distinction I'm making between this one and the previous one. But really, this question is oriented towards getting us into thinking about putting into action what we already understand. And so I use this illustration with my students. I talk about how if I gave them an exam about God's sovereignty, I'm confident that all of them would be able to articulate at some level that God is sovereignly in control and He directs all things for His glory and could give a reasonable, clear explanation of God's sovereignty. But the question is then, do they believe it in such a way that it shapes the way that they live? And so when they're sitting there in traffic, stuck in a massive traffic jam and they're late for an appointment and they start to feel that anger or that frustration build up in their minds and their hearts and they're getting frustrated that they're going to be late for something and they start to grumble. I think that's a tangible way that you're showing you really don't believe in God's sovereignty at this point. You understand it, but you're not believing it to the extent that it's actually shaping how you're responding to this particular situation. So trying to get at that distinction between all of us as believers have this gap between what we understand about God, about ourselves, about the world around us, and what we functionally believe and how it shapes the way that we live. So trying to help close that gap a little bit, forcing us to ask that question of what does God want me to believe?
Third question, what does God want me to desire?
Yeah, so this question is oriented towards, in one sense, it's trying to get at what Jonathan Edwards and other Puritans referred to as the affections, that combination of emotion and desire and inclination and will that that shape how we actually make decisions and move forward. And so this is trying to approach this question of application from a, what is it that God wants me to long for? What is it he wants me to not desire? And I'm convinced that Edwards was onto something when he talked about how the affections really do shape the decisions that we make and are almost essentially determinative of the kinds of decisions that we make. So what kinds of things, goals, people does God want us to desire? And correspondingly, what are things that God doesn't want us to desire, to turn our desire away from? And especially key, I think, in thinking about this one that's really formed my way of thinking about this area of desire is what Paul writes in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, where he talks about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So as part of the new covenant that God has promised from the Old Testament and now has inaugurated with Christ, God's Spirit gives us the desire to obey him. And so I'm trying to just sort of tap into that by asking that question.
Very well done. And then finally, what does God want me to do?
Yeah, so from what I said earlier, someone might conclude, well, are you against all sort of, you know, tangible action points? And the answer is absolutely not. I just want to make sure that they're rooted, that actions that come out of application are rooted in these previous three areas of understand, believe, and desire. So there is a place for coming up with specific tangible action points to walk away with from the biblical text and to try to guide people with very specific action points. And so, you know, there might be a specific action point of pick one person this week that you're going to try to share the gospel with. That's a very good, tangible action point. But if it's not necessarily rooted maybe in understanding of who God is, and what the fate of those who don't know Christ is, if it's not rooted in a genuine belief that God uses ordinary means like me telling someone else about Jesus, and if it's not rooted in a desire to express my own joy in the Lord by talking to someone else about him, or my desire to see people turn from their sins and trust in Jesus, if those three things aren't there, then you might get the tangible action point of telling someone about Jesus that week, but it seems less likely to actually transform the way that person thinks about the whole area of evangelism, and therefore it has the potential to just be more of a one-off kind of thing rather than a sort of way that transforms how a person genuinely lives their everyday life.
Yeah, and I love the way you build that and you package it together, that the action step, the physical act of doing something, the tangible act of doing something is developed after the passions have been awakened and stoked to it. Well, listen, Dr. Harmer, man, our time is coming to a close. We have just a few more moments. I want to ask you just maybe one or two more follow-up questions. And sure. One is this. Most pastors seem to err, it seems to me, by thinking too narrowly of application. My question for you is, do you share that assessment? And if so, is that kind of what you're trying to fix in the book? Would you agree?
Yeah, I absolutely agree that for a lot of pastors and preachers, the approach to application is definitely too narrow. And so actually at the back of the book is a short appendix, I call it a resource, but just some thoughts for pastors and Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, basically anyone who has the privilege of trying to do the application of Scripture for people that they lead from the Scriptures. And so I just consider a few different things. One is knowing your audience. If you don't really know the people that you're trying to apply the Scriptures to their lives, it becomes difficult, I think, or at least more difficult, to make good targeted applications. So I think that one way that pastors and preachers can overcome that is to think about specific people in their congregation across the spectrum. So maybe you think about the 9-year-old girl and think about what would it look like for her to respond faithfully to this passage as she's in school this week? Or what about the 19-year-old teenage boy who's a freshman at college? What would it look like for him to be faithful to Christ in response to this? Or what about the young mom who's got 4 kids at home all under the age of 6? What would it look like for her to be faithful? What about the widower? And so just kind of thinking about different particular people or categories of people in your congregation can really push you to get outside of your normal groove of application, and I think can prevent you from maybe falling into a little bit of a rut. I think another way that preachers can kind of diversify application is to think about the corporate aspect of application. I think as Westerners, our natural inclination is to think almost exclusively about how do I as an individual respond to God through this passage, when that's only part of the question. The other question is, how should we as a body of believers respond to God? What does corporate application look like in terms of our life together as believers, our witness to the community, our engagement with the world around us? So thinking more holistically in those terms, I think, can also maybe break us out of some of those ruts that we are naturally gravitating towards.
Tremendous. Dr. Harmer, our time has expired, but I want to thank you for the conversation and most especially for the book behind it and for your service, your ministry there at Grace College and Seminary. Thank you for joining me on Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you, Dr. Allen.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, jasonkallen.com.